Welcome to the weekend, Nashville Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3. The game presented by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you today, getting you set for what is sure to be a great sports weekend. I mean, we got everything today. We got one of the best college football weekends of the year. We got MLB playoffs. We've got a full NFL slate. We've got hockey. We got everything. Sports are back. And we are excited to talk all about it. We got a fun show planned for you. College football in the first hour. We'll talk some Titans in the 10 o'clock hour and some Predators. Willie Donick's going to join us at 10:30. Willie D. We cannot wait to chat with Willie about the Preds opener on Thursday night and also chat about their next game coming up today in Detroit against the Red Wings. Gentlemen, how are we on this Saturday morning? Should be a fun one today.
It's a great day for football, man. Some great games today. I mean, we got Ole Miss LSU. We got the Red River. I can never say that.
Yes. Red River.
Wed Stadium pulls today.
Wed Wibble Wibble.
Say it five times fast.
The Wed Wibble Wibble. now I'm going blank. Oregon, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Top USC, Penn State.
Yep.
Vanderbilt Commodores head to Lexington, the home of the Brave. The Krogue, as they're now referring it to.
The Krogue?
The Krogue. Yeah. Kroger Field.
And you guys had Big Blue Madness last night.
Yeah, with Rick Pitino there for some reason.
And Kenny Brooks.
And Kenny Brooks. And that guard, whatever her name is.
Georgia Amore.
Yes. She's very fast.
She is.
She's very good.
Yeah. Kentucky should be decent, but...
All right, great show, guys. Let's...
Hey. Love that highlight synopsis of a player. Very fast.
Very good.
Very good.
I should go on, like, First Take and just give synopsis of, like, Will Levis or something. Bad throw.
He's bad.
He's not great.
Interception. All right, let's get into our headlines here. We've had enough of Connor Newt for now. Nick Frazier, go ahead.
Yeah, my highlight this week, I'm going to have to say it. It's baseball. I don't think I've been this excited for playoff baseball in a while. It's a lot of teams. Obviously, people are like, oh, the underdog, the Mets. I understand their cap is – not cap, but like their financials is like $300 million.
Yeah, the three teams that have advanced to the LCS so far all have over $300 million payrolls.
Yeah, but if you think about it, though, the Yankees haven't been this deep in a playoff run in a while. The Mets haven't been there since 2015.
Yeah.
The Tigers are on the cusp of doing something, fingers crossed. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Tigers Guardians, they moved the game up to noon.
Okay.
I have a wedding this afternoon, so I will actually get to watch the game. I wouldn't have been able to otherwise, so fingers crossed.
Who's on the mound?
Carrick Skubal.
Yes.
All right. I'm feeling good about it now.
I do too.
How about it?
What are the odds to get a Subway Series World Series?
Oh,
yeah. About 50-50.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
That'd be good.
Yankees,
actually,
Mets.
No, that's not how that works. 25% would be the odds that both of them make it.
I'm pulling for the Mets and the Tigers. Mets because I want our friends Willie and TD. I want them to have some happiness in their lives.
Yeah.
And then I want you to be happy.
And me and Derek Mason.
Yeah.
And Mason.
And Joe Rexroad.
I forgot about D. Mason.
And Joe Rexroad. Yeah. And Joe Rexroad's grandmother.
Oh, yes. And her grandmother. His grandmother. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want absolute chaos on this station.
Well, we're getting it.
We're getting there.
Yeah. Tigers, Mets, both six seeds going to the World Series would be fun. I don't think that's going to happen. I think even if the Tigers win today, I think the Yankees probably end their magical run. But crazier things have happened.
Yeah, they have. But yeah, that's my highlight. Is
baseball's been fun. It's been fun. Dodgers 2-0 win last night over the Padres.
Yes, they went cold.
So my prediction from last week is wrong. It had a chance of happening heading into last night. I said that the Yankees would be the only higher seeded team to reach the LCS. The Mets did upset the Phillies, and we had two game fives. If they had gone my way, we would have actually had it right. But you know, can't get everything.
Yeah.
Connor Newt, what is your headline this morning?
Well. It happened. Victory lap for Connor Newt. Last week, WWE Bad Blood.
Right.
Match ends. Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns win. Then the lights go out. You see a little blue light, some electricity. If you smell! There he is. The final boss is back. The Rock. The final boss! And then he went on Instagram Live and cut like this 5-minute promo. It's not safe for air. He says some not
explicatives,
not rated PG things, but it's The Rock, man. What do you expect? I mean, it's the final boss. He's back. And I'm just very happy for that.
You think 5-minute promo is a little too long?
No.
No?
It's too short.
Too short.
I want more.
Oh.
I could listen to The Rock cut a promo for like an hour.
Have him sing for 3 minutes and then 2 minutes of just yelling at people.
Yeah. No, I just want to hear him like chap at the crowd for like an hour.
Yeah, actually, that would be kind of nice. It's like a little nostalgia feeling of early 2000s.
I'm just in the camp. I love heels. Heels are my favorite. If you have a good charismatic heel, I'm all in. And The Rock as a heel right now is just otherworldly. Like, he's the it factor. I mean, there's nothing like it.
Connor Newton knows Matt. He does. Is that what it would be called?
It's Ring.
Ring? Knows Ring?
We know Ring.
I guess Matt would be the like actual wrestling, like college wrestling.
Octagon.
I was like, who's Matt?
UFC.
Like, yeah, knows sense. Matt would be like college wrestling because there's no ring.
I was like, who is Matt?
M-A-T.
Matt Jones.
Yeah, I mean, there is a mat in a wrestling ring. It's a springboarded ring, right?
Maybe. the old action figures.
Yeah.
They're
my stuff.
They're showing the goalposts going into the Cumberland on game day right now.
I love it.
There's Diego Pavia.
I'm loving the rat poison this week, too.
You know what's crazy, just thinking about it? Last week, game day was showing an old Vanderbilt stadium.
They showed the wrong B-roll of like 3 years old minimum, because it had the old logo on there, too. Crazy. And now they're doing a feature on Vanderbilt beating Alabama.
Look at them now.
Crazy. I miss the old logo, though. The old star.
People will say that they like the old star V. I'm a big fan of the new one, especially when they have the star around it, like the big V, and then you can see the star outline. I think that one looks cool.
Yeah.
But
now their uniforms last week were awesome.
Yeah, the matte black helmets.
The matte black helmets, black jerseys, gold numbers. What are you laughing at?
Nothing. There's nothing.
You better shut your mouth.
No, I just have a joke I'll tell you guys later.
You shut your mouth, boy.
No, you're
The Rock will come down here and smack you.
Know your role and shut your mouth. I love it.
All right, my headline this week is not sports related. I was teasing this with Connor.
I've been waiting for this.
So I want to get your guys' opinion on something. So me and my girlfriend did a date night on Wednesday.
All right.
And I have to say, I will preface with, I had more fun than I thought I would. But this is, it's just not my thing.
Huh?
This, like, scare... That like where you
oh,
go
the Nashville the, Nightmare
yes,
or whatever?
Yeah, yeah, where you go to just get scared. And like, it's not my thing. My girlfriend loved it, and I was like, you know what, I will go because you want to go. Mm-hmm. But I was dreading it. I was like, I hate these things. Like, why would I go just to get
I'll tell you a story
jump
here
scared. Do you guys like those things? Or like, because I am not
no.
a fan. I had more fun than I thought I would. Like, I didn't hate it as much as I planned on hating it, but I still was not, I wouldn't do it again.
I have an irrational fear of Halloween decorations.
Really?
I do. No, I'm serious. Like, I have, like, when I was, like, maybe two, my mom took us into Party City and rolled over one of those cords on the shop. I was in the shopping cart. She rolled over a cord, then this, like, giant mummy, like, gets in my face, like the animatronic. So I have PTSD ever since.
I'd be scarred.
Close to 20 years later, I mean... I don't go into Spirit Halloween. I stay away from it. So
yeah, I'm with you.
I'm not a Halloween guy.
It's not like it's not even top five favorite holidays.
And the people that celebrate it like it's Christmas is beyond me.
It was crowded on Wednesday night. On a Wednesday, like
really?
Lots of people.
It was fun when we were kids, like trick or treating. But now, yeah. I mean, I'm not a big scary movie guy either.
No.
So I'll probably just hang out at home and watch. Hockey or something.
A lot of people that know me around the office, they know if they just walk into the studio while I have my headphones on and they just say something, I will jump out of my chair about 10 feet high.
Oh, sorry, Connor. I didn't see you.
Yeah. When I'm in the zone, I'm in the zone. And when people tap me on the shoulder, I'm like, listen, you're about to catch either a giant fist to the face or a big backhand, one of the two. Like the last time I went to a haunted house was October of 20. I was probably 10 years old. I haven't been since.
I've never been. Never will.
I used to go in like middle school and stuff because it was like a social thing. It's like, oh, we're going to, it was called Fields of Fear, was where we went as like middle schoolers and high schoolers. And it was fine. But like, I had no interest in going on Wednesday night. It was fine. I didn't get that scared except for one time. I got one time, like out of body experience. I screamed like I did not expect somebody to be standing somewhere.
Your voice found a new octave.
Oh my God. If there was replay of it, I would make sure that tape was destroyed because I probably looked like an 8-year-old girl. I jumped and like cowered and screamed. It was not good.
If some clown jumped at me, I'd just look at him. You shut your mouth, boy. The rock will layeth the smacketh down on ye.
I think it was an alien or something, but it hopped out. Like there was like a black curtain, but it looked like a wall, and it hopped out, and I.
Did you guys see that doll last year? We walked into, there was a, in the bathroom here at the station, you walked in and there's like a creepy girl doll just standing there.
I did not see that.
I think I stuffed it under the sink. It's probably still there. But I was like,
somebody's going to be looking for toilet paper or something and just.
Somebody's hand touched another hand.
Just going to jump out of the bathroom.
Dude, I went to use the restroom one time and it was just standing there right at the toilet. I was like, oh my God.
I didn't see that. You must have gotten it before I saw it. Jake Wallman, wrap us up.
Good
with your
morning,
headlines.
Gentlemen. My headline, I don't know if you guys saw this yesterday, but a statement was released by Ole Miss.
Yes.
They've been in the news recently, I guess over the past 3 years, about them faking injuries, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the statement says, feigned injuries have become a notable topic in college football, and we realize our program has been part of that discussion. You guys have headlined the discussion for the last 3 years.
You are the
And now
discussion.
You put out a statement. That's even more comical. It goes on to say, we have been in communication with the National Coordinator of Football Officiating and provided relevant medical information, relevant in air quotes, for his review to answer questions about recent injuries. We also have updated the SEC office, and our head coach will communicate with our coaches and players to ensure we conduct ourselves properly and are compliant in this matter. I mean, if you have to put a statement out about anything, I think that kind of takes the headline, period.
Sounds like a load of barnacles.
But to put out one 3 years late, I mean... Like, what are we doing?
I think you probably just ignore it, and you're making your own headlines by even bringing it up.
Yeah, knowing who their head coach is, I mean, he's definitely probably not telling the truth about everything.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Does this, I guess, spark and kindle from the time they did this at Neyland Stadium?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
Yeah.
With the golf balls?
Just
golf
curious.
Balls, a bottle of mustard.
A lot of other stuff.
I mean, I mean, everybody does it.
Are you still sour about that day?
A little bit, yeah, because I think that...
Don't step out of bounds, Orlovsky.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get to that here shortly, I assume.
Okay.
I hope not.
I mean, referring to last week.
Yeah.
But, it just... Like, everybody does it, but I don't think any team does it more than Ole Miss. And to put out a statement really tells me a lot.
Yeah, the clip of, is it Jackson Dart, like, telling his running back, get down? Like
against
that,
Kentucky?
Yeah, that was not good.
Yeah.
So
Matt Jones.
They're showing it right now on game day. Ole Miss, LSU, facing off tonight. We'll see how many fake injuries there are in that one. Connor, you are in charge of our question of the day today.
I am.
Should be a fun one.
This one goes out to Jared because did you guys catch his tweet the other day?
Yes.
He's now on the Charlie XCX boom clap board. So our question of the day is,
what is this?
So if you didn't see this, Jared tweeted out that he said, just as I found out about Maroon 5's payphone in 2021. Mm. I have recently found Boom Clap by Charlie XCX.
That song's like 10 years
old. It is 10 years old. It came out in 2014. It came out...
Play it coming back. I don't know which song.
You remember the movie A Fault in Our Stars? It was based off a book that like a bunch of girls loved.
I remember. I never saw that
movie. It came out a decade ago. It was part of that movie soundtrack.
I live under a rock, guys. I'm sorry.
We'll play it.
Anyways... Fact of the matter is, it's some people's guilty pleasure song, including Jared.
Okay.
So our question of the day is, what's your guilty pleasure song? Or artists. I have like five artists I can think of.
I've got a good song.
I've got some songs. I've got a great artist that, I mean, we'll get there. But you can text us at 615-737-1025. We want to hear what's your guilty pleasure. What do you like that you don't want people to like
yes.
or know about.
We'd love to hear from you. 615-737-1025. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let us know, what is your guilty pleasure song or artist? We did this with movies, our first show, right?
First show ever.
Yeah, first show ever. So artist or song? In honor of Jared Stillman finding out about songs,
I hope he's listening
a decade
to this.
Later.
I know he's not.
He's definitely not, but it was funny, all of the replies to that. Caroline Fenton saying that Jared's going to have a brat summer in 2040.
David Jane said he's going to love Hot to Go in 10 years.
Yeah,
I said, buddy, you're going to love Sabrina Carpenter.
Jared goes, what is Hot to Go?
Maybe How do you do, my fellow kids?
Maybe that is somebody's guilty pleasure song. So we will get to that coming up at 10 o'clock. We will give our answers, and we'd love to hear from you. Again, 615-737-1025. You can text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will take a break. When we come back, we will get into college football. We're going to spend pretty much this whole first hour on college football. Crazy weekend last week. Lots of upsets. We'll talk about those. And then we'll get set for some massive games today, including a top five matchup in Eugene, Oregon. That's up next here on Four's Company, presented by LPL Financial Nashville, here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. In honor of Jared Stillman finding out about this song this week, 10 years removed from its release, Boom Clack, Charlie XCX, Nick Frazier, we sang it for him in the break, and he knew the song.
I was in like the third grade when this came out.
It all came back to me. I'm not a fan of this song.
You just gave me a guilty pleasure song right there.
What?
Whether you knew it or not.
Not a fan of the song?
No, you know.
I do have to say that I did not know this was Charlie XCX, because I know she's been blowing up this summer with, the Apple and the dance and all that
stuff.
See,
I don't keep up with that.
So I knew, because she's Brat Summer and all that, I did not know this was her.
Look at the duck. the duck, Puddles, I think, is his name. It might just be the
duck. He's in a spaceship.
He is in a spaceship.
His name is Puddles?
I think his name's Puddles.
Today years old.
Puddles.
No, yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, I think he goes by the duck, but historically his name is Puddles.
Puddles the duck.
I am looking it up.
I call him Puds.
Puds?
Sure, it's okay to call Oregon's mascot Puddles. That's the title of an article, so you are correct.
Yeah. Puds.
We will talk more about Oregon-Ohio State coming up in the next segment, but first let's recap. What was a crazy weekend of college football last week? Ford's Company, Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman. Let's start with Vanderbilt beating Alabama. Mm. Biggest win in Commodores history. Maybe in all sports. And I know that's there's an argument to be made because there are national championships there. Baseball in 2014, 2019 obviously are going to be up there. Women's basketball's made a Final Four. Men's basketball's had plenty of upsets. But beating the number one team in the country, I think that's got to be in consideration. An unbelievable day on West End. Students carried the goalpost all the way to the Cumberland.
Took them an hour.
A day they will never forget over at First Bank Stadium.
Yeah. What a great game, too. I mean, they led and never trailed. Or no, they did trail at some point.
I don't believe so.
In the fourth, I think.
They led the whole way.
No, they did. Yeah, they did not trail. Oh. I don't think so.
So
is it? I remember when it was 23-14 at halftime, and Alabama got the ball to start the second half and went right down the field for a touchdown. And I got to say, sitting up in the radio booth, I was thinking, here we go. Like, they've made some adjustments. Alabama might be Alabama. But, man, Vandy just kept punching back.
I mean, a statement win.
That fourth and one play call, when you've been running the ball as well as Vanderbilt had been, you kind of expected, like, hey, this is going to be read option, triple option, Pavi, get the ball in Pavi's hands, let him make a read, and see if you can pick up 2 yards. They go deep, over the top for a touchdown. Those are the plays you have to have if you're going to beat the number one team in the country as an unranked team, and Vanderbilt got it. And yeah, there were a couple of moments from there on out where Alabama had chances to get back into it, but that was the play where I think me and a lot of people realized, like, oh, they might do this. Like, they might actually get this done.
Yeah, you know, looking at that Alabama game, I want to compare it to week one for Vanderbilt when they played Virginia Tech. If you watch back that Virginia Tech game when Vanderbilt was on offense, they spread out Virginia Tech wide on the offensive line. Like, they were running a lot of those option plays, and they were running it wide to the field, running it, you know, wide to the hash on the short side of the field. Like, they were spreading them out that way. They weren't going over the top. Whereas in the Alabama game, they started out with that, and then it opened up their drop back game where they're able to throw it over the top of the secondary and was genius. I mean, that's exactly what you want in an offense where you're able to kind of get the defense to bite on the run. And then, you know what? Hang on, wait a minute. We got somebody open way downfield. Let's throw it out that way. And so I just think Vanderbilt was clever enough, and credits to Clark Lee and his coaching staff for just having a great game plan, because they outmatched Kalen DeBoer. Because Kalen DeBoer, that's something I think he's going to have to adjust to when it comes to the SEC, is if Nick Saban was coaching that game, Nick Saban's like, I'm not worried. I'm going to manage the clock the right way. Kalen DeBoer did not manage the clock well at all.
I was just about to say.
Isn't that crazy?
Clark Lee managed the clock brilliantly.
Yeah.
Like, they were going on 6 to 8 minute drives.
They had a 10-minute drive at one point.
Yeah.
In the second quarter, they were aided by a couple Alabama penalties. Like, they punted the ball away, and Alabama had double numbers on the field. So they had to give it back, and then Vanderbilt ended up going on. It was a 17-play, 9-minute and 50-second drive for a
Mike
touchdown.
Mike Vrabel.
Unbelievable.
Run the ball.
Run, punt. Learn that, Jets fan. You're going to love it.
Well, I have quick tangent. I have a friend who's a very big Jets fan. He was actually in town for the Jets-Titans game, and he was texting about how, like, thank God they're going to get Nathaniel Hackett off of play calling. I was like, hey, be careful what you ask for, man. Like, as bad as Hackett's been, it can get worse.
It can get way worse.
But no, if you haven't watched the recap that Vandy Football put out, it's on Twitter. It's like 10 minutes long. Mm. But you can listen to Clark Lee talk about the game. They had confidence heading into that one that they were going to get it done. And you hear them say, we want to make this a 10-possession game. They wanted to keep Alabama's offense off the field as long as they possibly could.
That's how you do it.
They did it to perfection. They were staying ahead of the sticks, getting into third and shorts, and they were converting. I think they finished 10 of 14 or something on third downs.
Mm-hmm.
So they executed their game plan exactly the way they were supposed to, and they got it done. They made the plays they needed to at the right times. I mean, the pick six obviously is huge to give yourself some cushion at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe the biggest play of the game is Miles Capers flying off the edge and just blowing up Jalen Milroe in the fourth quarter. That gave them the ball back. Alabama could have gone down and taken the lead. Instead, Vandy goes down, puts the game on ice with a touchdown.
Beautiful. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. And I'm just going back to my comment about DeBoer and the clock management. You know, DeBoer, when you're out in West Coast-style offense, you're going to end up, you know, having a lot of high-scoring games. That's going to be his biggest adjustment to SEC football. And you kind of saw it in the Georgia-Alabama game, where obviously that game was high-scoring. It was back and forth in the second half. But if Kalen DeBoer and his Alabama team is down by a certain amount of points, or down by 7 at least, his mentality is like, all right, let's go out there. We're going to score quick. There's going to be a lot of time on the clock. And then they're going to basically be this way. If we get lucky and stop them on the next drive, we're going to score quick again.
Yep.
Like, that's that West Coast mentality that does not work in the SEC.
That's what I'm kind of picking up, is this Alabama team is a lot like his Washington team last year. Dynamic offense, lacking on defense. And
yeah.
I think you kind of saw that against Vanderbilt, because it was a peeing contest, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You are, it's blow for blow. You score, I score. So,
yes.
Ryan Williams made an unbelievable catch in that game for a touchdown that it felt like Alabama was coming back and had an opportunity. But Vanderbilt, every time they took a punch in the face, they punched right back and got themselves the win. It was a great day for Vanderbilt fans. After that game ended, Nate Bargatze hosted SNL, gave a little shout-out. He was giving the anchor down as he walked out onto the stage.
Did he go here?
He did not go to Vanderbilt, but he grew up a huge Vanderbilt fan. He's from Hendersonville?
He's been in the news this week as well. He donated a big check to DCA.
I had never heard of him until Saturday.
He's hilarious.
Yeah,
if you've not heard of his stuff, you should look him up.
I had not heard of him.
He's really funny.
I would love to see him.
One of the skits from SNL, it was a repeat because he's hosted twice in the last
I know he
years.
Does the George Washington
The George Washington one is really funny
yeah.
If you haven't seen that. But he came out, gave the anchor down. And sorry, Jake Wellman, right as he came on stage, Tennessee was upset at Arkansas as well. So
have him host every week, please.
What a game in Fayetteville. You know, the Vols offense didn't look like it usually does. And then came down to the final couple of plays. Nico runs out of bounds with no time left on the clock. And Tennessee falls, which it just makes it makes the path to the college football playoff for the Vols much thinner. Heading into that game, you felt like, hey, you have some leeway. You can lose to Alabama. You can lose to Georgia. And you probably still have a chance to get into the playoff. Now, yeah, you might have a chance if you lose those games. But you probably have to win one of them if you want to feel good about your playoff chances. Mm-hmm. If you're Tennessee, and also you have to win all your other games. That starts today against Florida.
Yeah, and like my preseason prediction, we all know this, we did it before the year began, but I had the Vols going 11-1. I think after losing to Arkansas, I'm still sticking to my guns of beating Alabama, losing to Georgia.
Being,
I
mean, 10-2.
Yeah, you have to go 10-2. And like the only way you're going to be a respectable 10-2 is if you lose to Georgia, because Georgia still has that, I guess, reputation of being a top caliber team. I'm not saying Alabama's not top caliber, but after seeing them lose to Vanderbilt, their credibility has gone down a little bit.
Well, in Tennessee, Florida, not easy, even though they haven't had a great year so far. And you got to end the season in a buzzsaw First Bank Stadium, where no one has gone in and won this year. So,
hey, Stadium Pulse, number one rank. You do not come out of West End alive.
You do not. 3-0, beating two Power 5 teams so far.
That is
on West End.
God, that is nuts.
So, and next week, Ball State goes in there, and then who knows if Texas is able to beat Oklahoma today. If they beat Georgia next week, another number one team could be heading into West End with their hopes and dreams getting crushed by Diego Pavia.
Come on down, game day. We need to see it. If game day comes here, I petition we do the show live from game day.
Sure.
I mean, if the suit is listening, we'd love to do it. That would be October 26th, and, you know, Vandy needs to beat Kentucky today, probably.
Not going
to
happen.
Needs to beat Ball State next week. That would mean Vandy would be 5-2.
Correct.
Heading into that game.
Probably ranked.
Yeah.
Low end, probably.
I would think you might be 23-24, because they receive votes this week. And Texas, if they win their next two, they'd be undefeated, number one team in the country, coming into Nashville. So we'll see. Game day, there's a chance.
Hypothetically, I'm just going to put this out there. Say Vandy beats Texas. Say they win out the rest of their schedule. And I take it back. They don't win out the rest. I say they lose to Tennessee, right?
They're 9-3.
9-3. You think possibly some sort of opportunity to make the playoff? Because you beat Alabama, you beat Texas.
I think that Georgia State loss would
still put them out.
Yeah. Mm.
You're getting a high-end bowl, though.
They'd be 6-2 in the SEC if that
You're probably
was the
playing
case.
In, like, the Cheez-It Bowl or something.
They've been the Cheez-It team of the week twice this year.
They're just the cheesiest.
There was a rep from the Cheez-It Bowl at the game on Saturday, I think.
Really?
I think I saw him. So, who knows? I would prefer the Pop-Tart Bowl with the live mascot.
Yeah, you got to go like 7-5, though.
Eat him post-game.
Can you imagine Diego Pavia eating the Pop-Tart
Eating
mascot?
The Pop-Tart.
Oh my goodness. It's destiny.
It's destiny. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, you can text or call. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we'll look ahead to today's slate. Lots of big games today. Heading into the season, this looked like the best day of football all year. Maybe next week could give it a run for its money. But lots of big games today. We'll talk about that coming up next here on Force Company, 1025-1063, the game. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at John Bon Jovi's Nashville this Sunday for the pregame show from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. They will break down the Titans' Week 6 matchup against the Colts, giving you the latest updates before the game. The pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon. Fours Company, Saturday mornings here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, and Jake Wallman. Talking college football here in hour number one. We'll get to some Titans and some Preds later on in the show. Willie Donick going to join us at 10:30.
You got to hear it with the song.
We'll have to listen to that during the break. I'm being shown a video of Connor Newt. Is that the acknowledge? Like
no, that's the yes. That's movement. Yes, the yes moment.
Daniel Bryan.
Yes. Yeah.
The beard guy. Yeah.
The final countdown is playing in the background.
I still need to get into wrestling. We talked about this. That I need to sit down and do my homework and actually watch a full. Is it called a match or wrestling? Or,
yeah.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah, you're good.
Yes, it's called a match.
Okay. A match, and then the whole show is what, a card?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, what's the whole show called?
A card? Yeah.
Okay, kinda I need like to watch UFC. A whole card, not just a match.
Program.
A program.
Program.
With well, a U.
The unsure in your voice was perfect.
We need to...
I know. I just love the... We have no idea what we're talking
maybe
about.
Maybe we need to do, like, a show wrestling, like all gather at somebody's house, and, like, you guys can... You
come guys, to the Newt Cave.
You guys can talk me through some of what's going on the card.
That's your savant right there.
Yeah.
I grew up like around it, not around it, but like the history of it because my grandfather's career. But, like he told me a lot of stories, and then I followed the WWE in the early 2000s, into probably 2010, and then I just kind of fell off for me. But I keep up with it from time to time. This guy over here. That's the guy you got to go to. Your teacher.
I need to get teaching. I mean, as much as you guys talk about it on the show and like...
Here's what you're going to do. One day, you're going to hang out with me, Adam Vingan, and Chase. And we're going to teach you everything you need to know.
There we go.
Frog splashes.
I can't wait.
Then at the end, we'll have a match.
This is... Oh.
Tag team? Four-way? Fatal four-way?
I don't know.
Three-on-one handicap.
Oh, come on, man.
Am I on the one?
You're the one.
Oh, wow.
It's your initiation.
I don't know if I'll be showing up to that. I don't want to learn about wrestling that bad.
We're
going to
put you through the triple power bomb.
I don't want to learn. I don't want to learn that bad.
No holds barred.
TLC match.
Oh, yeah.
Back to college football.
Continuing.
We've talked about last weekend. It was a great week, but lots of great games today. Three of them stand out the most. Ohio State-Oregon tonight. Top five matchup in Eugene. Winner takes the... driver's seat, I guess I would say, the lead for the Big Ten championship to get into that Big Ten championship game at Lucas Oil Stadium. Also in the Big Ten, Penn State USC. The winner of that game probably ends up being the next team, even though USC did get upset by Minnesota last week. And then the Red River rivalry at the Texas State Fair. Texas, Oklahoma. Three huge games. Which one are you guys looking forward to the most?
It's Oregon, Ohio State for me.
Yeah.
I think Oregon has a lot to prove. They've kind of come out a little bit dry to start the season. I think Ohio State has a lot to prove. They haven't really played anyone yet, but it's a Ryan Day coach team. This is the kind of game that Ryan Day chokes on the road in a big environment. So I'm not going to give you my full prediction, but I think you can kind of guess where I'm going.
Yeah.
Chip Kelly's return, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's, I think, the
OC.
That's
right. He's the OC.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. He left the head coaching job at UCLA to go be the offensive coordinator at Ohio State. So,
coaching downgrade.
It's he had the little red arrow next to that job. That game, I think, stands out the most. I am excited to see Penn State USC because I don't think we know. Like, Penn State are they number five in the country right now?
Four.
Yeah. Like, but have they really played anybody?
No.
At this point. I'm excited to see if this team is legit because there's been so many Penn State, James Franklin teams in the last 5 to 10 years where you're like, oh, this team's pretty good.
You know what's going to happen.
Then they play a big boy team and they lose. Not saying USC is like a juggernaut.
They're on the road.
But it's a game that is not a gimme. Like it's not
right.
Kent State who they played right after Tennessee.
You know,
almost beat them by 100.
You know what's going to happen with Penn State. They're going to go 9-3 and miss the playoff. They're going to be right on the bubble,
which
and
is
miss.
What I expected them to do at the beginning of the year. But so far, they've taken care of their business. Can they go beat a team that isn't a scrub? And I know that they play Ohio State and Michigan later on the season. Like those are going to be the bigger games. But this is the first test for James Franklin to go out there and prove, okay, we can go play with the big boys in the Big Ten. And hopefully they're able to get it done. I mean, I think we root for James Franklin over here. I mean, he rebuilt Vanderbilt. I mean, I hope that Penn State can, in a 12-team playoff, make it because they've been on the bubble for so long. But they've got to prove it today.
I just, for Penn State's sake, they need Ohio State to win today because if they end up losing to USC and they play Ohio State later in their season, their schedule, they're going to have to win that game to just stay – in a competition of validity to be in the top 12.
Yeah.
Like, I know that sounds crazy with only one loss, but it comes to a USC team. Hey, USC, don't knock them. They took down LSU with, not with ease, but they kind of handled majority of that game
yeah.
at the start of the season. And I just think, I mean, that team's kind of, not say complete, but they're well put together. People thought there'd be a drop-off with Caleb Williams. Nah. This team has been pretty
Miller
solid.
Miller Moss has been really good. He's been really good. And, you know, Lincoln Riley, say what you will about him, he might be on the hot seat, but that dude knows how to develop quarterbacks.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen
him. I mean, they took Michigan to the wire, too. It's not the same Michigan as last year, but it's still defending national champion Michigan Wolverines.
Was that the Big House? Was that at the Big House?
Yeah.
See, that's a tough game. I mean, the fact that they ended up winning that?
No, they lost.
That's right. I remember watching that possession. Yeah, that's right.
They lost to Michigan, who had like 29 passing yards or something like that.
And that was the week right after Texas.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, that was a tough little stretch for them. But no, that's probably the game I'm most looking forward to is Penn State USC. And also, my uncle's coming in town. He's a big Penn State fan, so
love it.
We'll see what that takes. You know, Stadium Pulse.
Red River rivalry also going on at Texas State Fair. Texas Oklahoma, first time they're facing off as SEC foes. Quinn Ewers is back, I believe.
Yeah.
Yes. No more Arch Manning.
Yes, he's
so
back.
Yes, Quinn Ewers starting at quarterback. This is a big game for Texas because you want to head into that Georgia game undefeated. And, you know, Georgia, they haven't looked as good as I think we expected them to. I think everybody kind of thought they would be wire-wire. They hadn't lost in the regular season in 3 years, so why would you expect them to lose? But if Texas can head into that game undefeated, they've got a chance, and now we have a lot riding on whether they can get to 7-0 and maybe game day comes here to Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, this Texas-Oklahoma matchup for me, it's coming down to Brent Venables and that defense. I think he's going to just throw everything through the kitchen sink out at Texas because Quinn Ewers coming off of that injury, you're thinking, well, he may not be fully 100%. And if that's the case, then you're going to say, we're going to blitz the crap out of Texas. We're going to show them every front on planet Earth. We're going to blitz so many different gaps, do so many different stunts. And when you do that, you're going to get that quarterback rattled. And he might, I'm not saying eventually, but he might actually get hurt in this game. I'm not putting ill will towards Quinn Ewers, but that's kind of how this stuff happens.
He hasn't shown that he's very durable.
Yeah. So then you go put Arch Manning in, and that could be a defining moment for Arch Manning. Maybe he is a legit quarterback for Texas going forward.
Yeah.
I think, I'm not predicting the future or anything, but like that.
No, I think you're on. I think Arch Manning's a better quarterback than Quinn Ewers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I just think he has all the intangibles that make a great NFL quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll be a great quarterback moving forward. I mean, this next quarterback class is going to be great.
Right.
Arch Manning, Nico Iamaliava. There's one I'm missing that's really big. Anyways. I just think
Dylan Raiola.
No, he's a true freshman.
Is he?
Yeah, he's a couple years
I thought
years
he
away.
Was a sophomore.
No, true freshman.
Wow. That's crazy.
I don't know. I'm missing one. But I think Arch Manning, I'm not saying he's the better option for Texas right now, but I think if we're going based on who the better quarterback is, I think it's Arch Manning.
Wow. Okay.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you've got thoughts on any of these big games this weekend. A couple people on our text line, an unnamed texter says Pop-Tart Pavia would go crazy. I think it would. Pop-Tart bowl for the doors.
Hell yes.
But he says that Sports Illustrated has Vanderbilt and Colorado in the Liberty Bowl. Coach Prime, Will Shepard revenge game. I don't know if you guys saw Will Shepard, the former Vandy receiver. He's at Colorado. What he said after the UCF win.
No.
He said, you guys know where I came from, Vanderbilt, so this is the most complete win I've ever had in my career. And then a week later, Vandy beats Alabama. So I think there would be a little bit of
bad blood
going into that one if that was actually a bowl game.
You know, they hand out receipts at your local supermarket. That's what Vandy's doing. They're collecting all
those.
Yeah, a
little bulletin board material.
Yeah.
Joey from Bellevue, I don't know what this means, Connor. You'll have to. He says, break him in with an Inferno match. Is that like.
So, an Inferno match is like they have the ring and then there's literal fire around the ring.
I feel like we don't need an amateur Inferno match.
Whoever goes over the ring into the fire loses. So, you're going over, buddy.
I feel like that. I feel like Adam Vingan after that one caller and said he wanted to beat him with a switch.
We're going to do a three stages of hell match. That's what we're going to do.
Because
caller said that?
You were producing the show. Do you not remember this?
I don't, man.
Derek was talking about like disciplining his children air.
Yes,
and
I
it was
do.
Like Tennessee Ron called in and was like, Derek, do you have a switch in there with you? If not, I'll come in and beat Adam with mine or something like that.
I do recall this now.
What?
was off the rails.
Yes, this happened on the during Ask D-Mace a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Do we need to get some security?
This is how I feel. Joey from Bellevue wants to throw me into an Inferno match.
We're putting you through the three stages of hell match.
All right.
That's like three different match types in one.
Just put him in a table match.
Guys, I don't
hell
think I'm showing
in a
up
cell.
To this. I'm telling you, I'm probably not going to show up to this.
We'll get you somebody.
The Inferno match, I feel like the WWE probably has some like pyrotechnics. They've got some people. I don't like the idea of you guys amateur rigging some sort of fiery ring.
We'll just pour some gasoline outside in the parking lot.
Not safe.
Yeah, this is not going to happen. 615-737-1025 if you want to send us onto a tangent as well. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Speaking of tangents, Newt's Notes is up next here on Force Company, 1025-1063 The Game.
What
Connor Newt
is cooking.
The final boss.
Good job, Jake Wallman. This was the perfect one for today. You did? Okay.
He told me, but I'll take the credit.
We still need to put a poll out to see what everybody's favorite Newt's Notes intro is. But you hear the music. You know what time it is here on Forest Company. It's time for Connor Newt to take the show over. Newt's Notes, go ahead.
All right. So... Oh, yeah. You hear that Final Boss key change? It's like the Eel song now. The Final Boss! Okay, anyways. So this week, this might offend some people in the area because I know where people graduated from, but Western Kentucky put out some new helmets. They're red, and they have the big red eyes on them. I'm here to tell you, they suck. They are stupid. Let it go. Okay, that's very short Newt's Notes.
I'm with you. I mean, you're very brief, Jay, which I love. I'm all about it.
615-737-1025.
Text us your thoughts. they were red, and they have, like, the big red eyes. I just don't understand the national obsession with Western Kentucky's helmets. I get they revolutionized the chrome. Good for them. These are awful.
I like the ones from last year where they had big red on the side, and every position had a different... Big
yes,
red doing
that was
some,
a good one.
That one was
I didn't
awesome.
Like those. I just I
sounds
don't,
like somebody's a hater.
I think I am a hater because I go to the rival university. But I mean, I think Big Red might be the dumbest mascot in all of college sports. I'll just say that right now.
What's the difference?
Love him.
Yeah, what's the difference between Grimace and Big Red? Is one just bigger?
One is red and one is purple.
One's red.
But they're like the same mascot, right?
Yeah, but Grimace is a national hero. Grimace is in the NLCS.
That
right
is true.
That's true.
I love the Mets tweeted out Purple October or something like that.
Yeah.
For Grimace.
Purple Rain.
I love the Blob mascots. I think they're awesome.
No.
Big Red.
No.
But Big Red is not as good as... And I'll let you guys guess. Who do you think I think is the greatest mascot in all of sports?
Cocky.
No.
Do you like the orange, the orangeman from Syracuse?
Oh no, not Otto the orange.
Do you like Keggy the Keg from Dartmouth University?
That's a great one. No.
It's the tree from Stanford.
That's a great one as well. You guys are close. Gritty. Gritty is the greatest mascot
Gritty's
of all time.
Scary.
I love me some Gritty. A tangent here quickly. You guys know in Chell you can play ones, and you can play as the mascots. Playing as Gritty is so fun because he just lights people up.
There's only one mascot you're allowed to play with.
Nash.
Ganache.
Yes.
Ganache.
Nick Kieser's best man.
Yeah, honestly, he's at his wedding.
I'm a big fan of the Blob mascots. I don't know.
I'm just not a big fan. I think these helmets are awful, but there's like a national obsession. These are the greatest and most innovative helmets that I've ever seen. They got a red helmet and stuck some googly eyes on it.
Yeah.
My sister could do that.
See, I don't like those ones as much as the ones from last year, but I don't hate them.
I mean, I quote tweeted it when they came out, and then...
You get a lot of hate for it. I was like, wow.
Hilltopper Twitter came after me.
Yeah.
They're like, well, maybe you should beat us. And I'm like, dude, this has nothing to do with head-to-head matchups. I just think your fashion sense needs a little bit of work. But, hey, MTSU has won one game. So, I love how they all think I'm like, just a diehard MTSU fan. I'm like, dude, I just go there.
You're an avid college football fan. That's all.
Yeah, I'm love of the game.
Yeah, and like we can all say this, the video game has influenced us to like a lot of uniforms, the uniform combinations. I mean, that's what the video game does to you. It makes you an avid fan of just the sport itself.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
people got to just relax.
I don't understand the national obsession. I'm going to keep saying it.
You know what you should do for your haters? What'd you have for nutrition today? I'm just curious.
Oh,
you could have them eat that.
I had some Smart Start with a banana cut into it.
Ooh.
Lots of protein today.
There you go.
I feel great.
See? Maybe those people, your haters, will
eat
feel great.
Eat some Smart Start, haters.
Bingo. There you go.
Yeah. Well, that was I don't really have any background to my argument. I just think they're stupid. But
it's fair. I mean, they're good and they're bad uniforms, and like everybody's going to have their opinions on them.
I mean, you look at some of the greatest helmets in college. You're looking at two of them right now on College game day, Ohio State and Oregon. What part of Western Kentucky's red googly eye helmets makes you think that they're up there with those?
They just stand out.
They're different. That's the explanation. They're different.
I think college football programs, you've got to go one of two directions with your uniform. You either are very traditional, like a Penn State, where you've got two combinations and that is it. You don't differ. Or you be innovative. You be different and put googly eyes on the side of your helmets.
But it doesn't work. And it's just dumb. But everyone on Twitter, these are so cool. I'm like, oh my God, you guys have no...
You think Western's still living off the Bailey Zappe high?
Yes. Very much so.
And that's why Austin Reed, the other quarterback that is now gone, like you think they're just still living off that high and they're using all their stuff for...
I mean, listen, I am all for incorporating your mascot into your uniforms.
Right.
Oregon is doing that a lot with the duck.
Yeah.
Especially their new ones.
I love the helmets, the orange face mask, white helmet.
I love those.
Yeah.
But you can do so much better than slapping some big googly eyes on a red helmet and calling it a day. It's just a different helmet. It's not even the same... Like, it's the same uniform base, it's just a different helmet. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but it's just not for me at all.
I don't think you're crazy. I mean,
thank you.
I think that they have had some unique
helmets. Oh, no question. Yeah.
Like, the one with different positions on them is probably my favorite, followed by just Big Red, kind of like frolicking through the
field. I love their chrome. I'll say I love their chrome with the red face mask.
I'm not so high on their chrome, but...
They were the first ones to do that, though, so that's why.
But I don't know. The one with googly eyes on them, it just doesn't hit this as hard as the other ones do.
Yeah. Well, when they played here in Murfreesboro, I mean, they showed up in black helmets, black pants, and a white jersey. That doesn't scream Western Kentucky to me. That just screams like they look like Maryland. But I just feel like going back to what I said, there are other ways you can incorporate your mascot into your uniform. Kentucky has done it in the past. They wore a matte black helmet with the Wildcat on it.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It's now hitting my brain that the Maryland Terps and the Western Kentucky Tops, like that same logo font as their...
Oh, yeah, they both have the script helmets.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same exact thing. And they're both matte black.
Yeah.
In some regard.
Yeah.
That's nuts, now thinking about that. So they're copycatting. Yeah. They're not even being original.
You're not original.
Okay.
Be original. Although, that's another argument. In Nike jerseys today, there's no originality.
Yeah.
It's just base color, and then you have stripes on the shoulder. And then that's it.
Do you have a favorite like uniform combination right now, minus like the terrible one of Western?
Favorite Western combination?
No, just in general. Like
just in general,
college football.
Oh, I love Oregon. I love when they do. They wore it last week. I don't know why I love this so much. They did the matte black helmet and then all yellow. So sweet. I love Ole Miss, powder blue helmet top, and then white pants.
Anything powder blue
Yeah.
Have you seen the FIU Miami Vice ones?
Those are sweet.
Put out? Those are good.
Those are awesome.
FIU also did the world's biggest boom, or was that FAU?
That was FAU.
FAU.
Yeah. I love Virginia Tech. They do white, orange, white. I think it's awesome.
I do like those. They don't like to wear the orange jerseys that much anymore.
Really?
Pry came from Penn State, and he pretty much sticks to the Penn State rule of, like, you've got maroon for home, white for away.
Mm. Could you imagine just, like, at a homecoming, you get the, what, garnet, like, style pants, and then you get your orange jersey, white helmet. That'd be perfect.
It is a Thursday night is orange effect for the Hokies, so maybe they will
orange
wear those
crush.
Against
slight tinge
against BC.
Kentucky might be wearing the stupidest combo I've ever seen them wear today.
Uh-oh.
Blue helmets, black tops, blue bottoms. Not a fan.
Can I go on a little bit of a tangent while we're on uniforms?
Nope. I'm just kidding.
You're the only one who can't go on tangents on this.
Shut your mouth. You shut your mouth, boy.
I do have a slight problem with Tennessee wearing orange on white for the first time this year.
Uh-oh.
When they came out with those that smoky gray series against UTC,
right?
I feel like they should have worn orange on white. I'm a fan of that. Wear the smoky grays for Kent State when you beat them by 1,000.
No, I'm a fan of that. First game of the season, I like to see just the traditional home.
Yeah,
I've always been that way.
I don't think alternates should be worn week one.
No. When's dark mode coming back? Blackouts.
Could be for Kentucky.
Yeah, probably could
about
be.
October, or like end of October.
I mean, Halloween. They could.
Beware.
Spooky Rocky Top.
Yeah, last time they wore.
Mississippi State may also be a night game as well. So
last time they wore Spooky Top was last year against
South Carolina.
South Carolina. Or no, 2 years ago they wore it against Kentucky and Will Levis threw like three picks.
Let me tell you, Mississippi State game is not going to be a night game. They're going to be so bad by the time they get to Knoxville.
Catch it on 8 a.m. on Nickelodeon.
Honestly.
CW.
It might be.
Hey.
It might be.
The CW is exclusively ACC games.
Yeah. You knock it off, buddy. You learn
got
your facts.
Tom Brenneman calling the games as there's a deep
You can
drop
catch it at 4 a.m. on C-SPAN.
They're not bringing back the orange helmets, right, the Vols?
I don't know.
Are you in the camp of those are cursed? Because that is something I've been hearing.
That's something that people have said about the orange pants this week as well.
Really?
They shouldn't wear them again. And in the beginning, I was against wearing the orange helmets because I'm a delusional Vol fan and think that, like, the moment they lose a game with something like that involved, it's like, oh, it's cursed. Don't bring it back. I would have liked to have seen them last week where they go orange, white, orange, but I don't know.
Why don't they just wear all orange this week?
I feel like
against
too
Florida.
Much.
I mean, they should just all orange but white helmets. Like, that's what they need.
Yeah.
Well, the orange on orange at home combo I like as well.
They haven't brought that back in a while.
I don't know when the last time they wore orange on orange.
It feels like it was like 2006. I don't know. Our local Vols guy, Robbie Stanley, Texas. I don't know. That'd be great.
He's been texting me today. So,
buds.
Yeah, we're buds.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Connor, great job as always.
Yeah, that was kind of a crap shoot.
We know that we've got haters in here wearing the MTSU stuff.
Hey, and what do your haters have to eat this morning?
Smart start with a banana. And if you want to go to Zaxby's, get a five-finger chicken count with extra fries instead of slaw and a large sweet tea.
I don't know if we're even allowed to do that. We'll take a break here. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we'll answer our question of the day. What is your guilty pleasure artist or song? We want to hear from you. Let us know on our phone lines. Again, 615-737-1025. Hour number two, Force Company, coming up next year on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.